Long before Oprah Winfrey started her book club, readers around the country were regularly getting together to talk about novels, biographies, and all sorts of other books, some groups for a very long time. 125 years ago today, a Methodist minister in the village of Chautauqua, New York, began what now claims to be America's oldest continuous book club, the Chautauqua Literary and Scientific Circle. From member station WXXI in Rochester, New York, Brenda Trombley reports.
When Bishop John Hyle Vincent stood up, faced his congregation, and announced he would publish a list of books his parishioners should read and share with their friends, he seriously underestimated the response he'd get. An energetic man with a flowing beard, Vincent hoped to sell books from his own publishing company and to promote utopian ideals, virtuous living, and self-improvement.
Read Shakespeare, but study the Bible is something that Bishop Vincent said at some point.
Jeffrey Miller, the current director of the Chautauqua Literary and Scientific Circle, says Vincent's original book group was a kind of four-year correspondence course he promoted through his newspaper and literary tent meetings, or Chautauquas, all over the U.S. Subscribers had to read the recommended books and pass a test to, quote, graduate with their class. Vincent only expected a few hundred people to sign up, but by the end of the second year, more than 8,000 readers had done so.
Three out of four of the readers in the first decade or two were women, and then it turned out to be five out of six were women. Women in Montana who couldn't get off the farm, people in, you know, Blue Earth, Minnesota, and Humboldt, Iowa, who would not have a chance to go to college. They wouldn't have any means.
Those readers plowed through dry theological texts and treatises on Greek and Roman culture. They considered current scientific thinking and all of the 16 edifying books on Vincent's list. And when they finished reading, those who could traveled to the village of Chautauqua, New York to celebrate. This week, as they do every year, hundreds of past graduates of the Chautauqua Literary and Scientific Circle, or CLSC, pulled on matching t-shirts, hoisted banners, and marched through the village square chanting their class slogans.
Rah, rah, days of yore, we're the class of 84.
Bridging the ages, turning the pages, bridging the ages, turning the pages.
This annual ritual has drawn thousands of readers to Western New York. But the idea of book groups following a prescribed course of reading has spread way beyond the confines of Chautauqua. Today, millions of American readers gather in living rooms, church basements, online, over the radio, and even on TV.
Our book club is back, and we're reading Steinbeck's East of Eden. Have you gotten to the big moment? Well, it is very shocking.
Television talk show host Oprah Winfrey's book club has become, some say, the most powerful influence in the publishing world. Other shows have launched their own clubs, including The Today Show and Good Morning America. The books they promote attract huge sales and wide exposure. But even the smallest groups have become part of this literary economic engine, prompting active courtship by publishers and writers.
Publishers are willing to be part of it, and writers are willing to be part of it, and book group members are willing to be part of it. It makes a lot of sense.
Ellen Slazak is editor of the Book Group book. She's been tracking clubs across the country for more than a decade. She says while the benefits to writers and publishers are obvious, the benefits to readers are completely different, but equally powerful. Slazak says many are drawn into groups because of what she calls the primal urge to grab somebody by the lapels.
You know, they want somebody to have some moment with where it's like, yeah, yeah, that part. You know, what did you get out of that? Or I didn't like that part. Or that didn't make sense. Or why in the world did the author choose to do that? Or why did the characters choose to do that?
At Moodmakers Bookshop in the city of Rochester, about 10 readers meet monthly to ask those kinds of questions. Recently, they talked about a book called The Coldest Winter Ever, Sister Solja's novel about a teenaged girl named Winter. Zell Hicks, Amantua Savor, Barbara Stevens, and Joyce Burwell sat around a long folding table discussing the themes in Solja's grim story. Hicks says it's not a book she'd normally choose to read.
Well, I guess I've always been a kind of voracious reader, but my reading was just all like one-dimensional, you know. I read romances. So I thought, well, geez, there must be other things out there to read. So in joining the book clubs, I mean, it just really broadened my scope.
It's that fundamental curiosity that's at the heart of all book groups and has sustained the oldest one in Chautauqua. Wearing white and clutching sprays of oak leaves, 130 readers in this year's Chautauqua Literary Circle wait in front of a golden gate with a man dressed as Bishop John Heil Vincent.
I will now open the gate.
All you who, as members of the Chautauqua Literary and Scientific Circle, have completed the 4-year course of reading, will soon hold in your hands a pledge of the same. You may now pass under the first arch.
In a scene reminiscent of a Victorian wedding, these modern readers of America's oldest continuous book club process through two rows of children pelting flowers. Together, they walk up a flight of stairs and sit down in a hall for a graduation ceremony that celebrates the simple pleasures of books and conversation. For NPR News, I'm Brenda Tremblay in Rochester, New York.